The Lord be with you.
And
a reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. At that time, John said to Jesus, "Teacher, we saw someone driving out demons in your name, and we tried to prevent him because he does not follow us." Jesus replied, "Do not prevent him. There is no one who performs a mighty deed in my name who can at the same time speak ill of me. For whoever is not against us is for us. Anyone who gives you a cup of water to drink because you belong to Christ, amen, I say to you, will surely not lose his reward. Whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him if a great millstone were put around his neck and he were thrown into the sea. If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter into life maimed than with two hands to go into Gehenna, into the unquenchable fire. And if your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter into life crippled than with 2 feet to be thrown into Gehenna. And if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. Better for you to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than with 2 eyes to be thrown into Gehenna, where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched." The Gospel of the Lord. Okay, I'll say it before the Mass continues. Congratulations to both Oregon teams for winning last night. Well, I knew that would happen. I'm not going to say, Ducks or Beavers, whichever one, but they're pretty amazing, pretty substantial wins, of course, on both sides. Usually most of the weeks on Tuesdays, I take a little time to kind of look forward to the coming readings for the following weekend, the coming Sunday readings. And often I'm pleasantly surprised if they are, parable, beautiful parables or miracle stories or some teaching of Jesus that is easy to preach on and the images are strong to describe and the significance. But when I looked at the readings this Sunday, I said, "Oh my God, do I have to preach on these?" If you put together the reading from James and the very harsh words that we hear in the strong images about cutting off appendages on our body if they should cause us to sin. Pardon me initially, and we've heard these passages before, pardon me said, okay, we need to pray about this one. Looking at other sources, as most priests do, to try to put together some ideas for the homily each week. There is a thread running through these. And it's a very important thread, not something we think about all the time, but we must think about it now and then. And certainly the thread is that the gospel is not always a feel-good news. It's not always a feel-good gospel. It's not always warm and fuzzy. The gospel of Christ and to be a disciple of Jesus means at times to make a radical choice to follow him. Radical is a word that comes from root, the root deep within. So Jesus' words today about plucking out your eye and cutting off your hand and your foot are not meant to be literal. It's hyperbole, a method of rabbinical teaching that exaggerates in order to make a very serious point. And the serious point that is made is that sin causes us, in some cases, have deadly results without a response to the call for conversion. And so we need to look at the seriousness of sin in our life and how that affects the choices we make, the places we walk with our feet, the things we look at with our eyes, those things that we treasure, the things that we reach out to grab for ourselves. All these, Jesus says, are causes for reflection, can lead us into death or can lead us into life. So there's that element that's so important about the Gospels, the importance of looking deep within, cutting sometimes, as one source described it, surgery, you know, serious spiritual surgery, cutting out those things in our life that are keeping us from living the gospel more fully and more productively. But thankfully, the gospel passage today is sometimes the gospel writers in composing Matthew, Mark, Luke, particularly Matthew, Mark, and Luke, will take sayings of Jesus, sections from perhaps teachings he gave as he traveled through the Galilee region. And the gospel writers have these sources in composing, and they put them all together, this saying and this, like a collection of Jesus' sayings. So today, I think in the gospel, we have something that doesn't seem initially to blend together easily, but rather you can preach any section of this. But there is a thread. If we look carefully, there's a thread that runs through here about the seriousness of scandal and the source of where it comes from and how important it is for us as disciples of Jesus to be aware of our limitations and our prejudices and sometimes our own narrow vision that we often, as human beings, we have. And so today's gospel is clearly a mirror of the first reading by the story of Moses. It takes place at the point in Moses' ministry to the people coming through the desert where he's getting tired, he's getting worn out, and he pleads with God to share a portion of the Spirit that he has given him, share this portion with others. And so God said, okay, choose among you leaders, and God gives them a spirit, a prophecy, and they go out and begin to prophesy to the people, calling them to task, bringing them the message of that God is forming them as his people. But now Joshua, who had great respect for Moses, Joshua brought the people across the Jordan into the promised land after Moses had died, seeing it, but never entering it. And so Joshua comes to Moses and complains. There are two among Eldad and Medad who are not part of us, and they're also sharing, they're prophesying. And Moses says, don't stop them. They're doing good. They're in the same spirit as we all are, and it's clear Moses recognized what God had done. God is not limited by barriers. He's not bound by lines or by structures. God will work outside the limits. And so clear today, it's calling us to recognize the vision of God, who he is. As somebody said after the last mass, I think very wisely, the whole ecumenical movement of the church is based in this kind of sense that God's vision is beyond what we may feel to be Roman Catholic only, or about what we may feel to be only in America, or only in the American church, or whatever it might be. That God shared, he's not limited by our limitations. And so it's good for us then to challenge our own vision in this. How do we perceive the working of God? How do we perceive our call to minister to all and not just to some? And so it's reflected in Jesus. We see the same thing. John, the beloved disciple, John, who on our beautiful icon in red rests against the close to Jesus to listen to his words at the Last Supper, this beloved disciple of Jesus comes and complains, Lord, that we recognize somebody exercising demons in your name. Tell them to stop. He's not one of us. He's not among the chosen. He shouldn't be doing that. And Jesus says, as Moses did, don't stop him. He's preaching in my name. He's exercising demons simply by the power of the name of Christ. He's not against us. He's with us. Because he preaches in the same spirit with the same name. Nobody who's doing good in my name can possibly be against us. He's doing good. Let him go. Let the Spirit work where the Spirit will blow and flow among us. It's an important thing about the vision that we are called also to look at ourselves and to see what we see or what we don't see indeed. And so today's gospel reminds us of that. And the second part, of course, about this seriousness of sin, what are the stumbling blocks? What are the things that blind us? Or where is our blindness in ourselves? Or the blindness in the world that maybe we need to call the world to see a better way? One of the reasons the church exists, the mission of Christ, offers an alternative to the world, offers a proposal to the world, a better way to live. And so these scriptures are here, particularly in this ordinary time of the year as we're going through all sorts of parts of the gospel, is teaching us how to live well, how to live better in the world in which we live by adopting these values of the gospel, certainly in our life. One of the great social justice principles of the Catholic Church, it's been around for a long time, is a sense of the common good that we are called to be contributors to by the choices we make, the people who draw our attention, who receive our ministry, that we're called to be as Christians to think not just about ourselves, but to think about how my actions, how my words, how my choices affect the common good of everybody. So what is the common good, as the church would define it? Well, in the most perfect of all worlds, the common good would be a kind of culture, a society, in which every human person has an opportunity to develop to their fullest potential, economically, education-wise, spiritually, housing, food, all these kinds of things that we have a moral responsibility to contribute to, not just to take all things for ourselves, thinking about this image again of Judas in yellow, the color of cowardice, grabbing the bread, looking down at it with a scowl on his face. Me, this is for me. It's a powerful symbol of greed and sometimes envy. John was envious of this man preaching or exercising demons because he's not one of us. And Jesus said, yes, he is, but in a different way. While the other apostles all have their eyes fixed on Christ, waiting to receive the gift that he is ready to offer them, not grabbing it for himself. Powerful symbol, a thing to think about. Where do we go with our eyes? What are we reaching for? Where are we walking? All these things that can be cause for great virtue or great sin in our lives. So the sense of the common good, we don't live in a perfect world, but it's always this goal that we're called to reach for time and time again by the choices we make, the way, the policies that we develop and all of that. Would that everybody would prophesy, as Moses said, but not everybody prophesies. There's a wonderful line, finally, in the document of the Second Vatican Council on the Church. And this wonderful line says, it really is revolutionary. It's about a vision. Remember the days when there was a sense of no salvation outside the church, or salvation is only. So that came to be unofficially understood. There's no salvation outside the Roman Catholic Church. And so as well-meaning as our Protestant brethren may be, too bad they're not Catholics. Would that all the world would be Catholic. We'd all be saved. That was never the official teaching of the church. It became sort of an incorrect understanding. But the Vatican Council addressed that in this wonderful statement. It's very well known. And it says, those who through no fault of their own do not know the gospel of Christ or his church, but who nevertheless seek God with a sincere heart and moved by grace, try in their actions to do his will as they know it through the dictates of their conscience, those too may achieve eternal salvation. Yes, salvation through Christ alone, through Jesus and through his name alone, There's no other way, door to salvation. But for those who don't know him, they still share in the results of that. And we who do know him are called to invite and to propose to others. Part of our mission, part of our call as a people of God. So let's allow this more challenging gospel maybe to indeed challenge us in our vision and our choices that we make, and recognize that it's not just about me, it's about the others who are the society in which I live, and contributing positively to that as well by all that we do.